Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, August 5th, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 45, the second paragraph that begins with, well, that's exactly what this book is about, and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Shelley E., who will be reading the 12 steps, Cindy K. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Terry C., Carrie S., and Sandy W. The share ID for Sunday, August 4th, Vision's 7th anniversary special edition, not to be missed, is 13,235. That's 13235. And for this morning's August 5th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,236. That's 13236. Our newcomer greeter for today is Mo H., and Reggie O. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Shelley E. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning. Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for your service. This is Shelley E., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern Michigan. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Number six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Number seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
And thank you, Shelley E. Cindy K., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Yes. Good morning, everybody. I'm Cindy K. from Kansas City, Missouri. Here are our 12 traditions. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups, or OA as a whole. Number 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Number 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Number 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, and so a name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. Number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. Have a good one, guys. Bye-bye.
And thank you, Cindy Kay. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 45, the second paragraph. Well, that's exactly what this book is about, and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. So, Terry C., good morning. If you could get us started, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. I'm assuming I can be heard.
You can. Thank you.
Okay, good morning, fellows. My name is Terry C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Jersey. And when I read this paragraph, I have to admit the feeling that I had before I walked into the rooms and when I walked into the rooms. That when I read G-O-D, and it means, of course, that we're going to talk about G-O-D, capital G, lowercase o, lowercase d, I think of the emotions and I think of what my reaction was to that name, to that proper name, when I walked into the room. And I have to tell you that the best
Terry, can I stop? Terry,
sure.
Can I stop you 1 second? I need you to act. Can you read that paragraph?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so excited
okay.
to share on it. Thank you, fellows, for your
That's
understanding.
Fine.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Let's stop this. Okay. All right. So I paused myself at 2 minutes, and I'll pick that up again. Okay. Well, that's exactly what this book is about. That's exactly what this book is about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. That means we have written a book which we believe to be spiritual as well as moral. And it means, of course, that we're going to talk about God. Here, difficulty arises with agnostics. Many times we talk to a new man and watch his hope rise as we discuss his alcoholic problems and explain our fellowship. But his face falls when we speak of spiritual matters, especially when we mention God. For we have reopened a subject which our man thought he had neatly evaded or entirely ignored. Thank you again for that snafu, and for forgiving me for that. I have my excitement to share. My name is Terry C., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Jersey. So GOD, when I was one of those people, when I look at the word GOD, when I walked in here, I thought about the fact that I thought of God, and I think of the word antagonist, right? It's very similar to agnostic in terms of letters and pronunciation. Antagonist. That is probably a pretty good description of how I looked at God. Similar words, meanings not so related, maybe so related, but you know, I didn't have knowledge of God when I thought of him as an antagonist, and I thought of him as an antagonist. And so I really wanted little to do with him. I believed in him because I feared if I didn't, that my life would even be worse. But yet my description of him was not favorable. And here difficulty arises with agnostics like me. I didn't have the knowledge of a God that I have today. I had the knowledge of a God that was punishing, that was spiteful, that was punitive. I did not have a description of a God that when today I read GOD, I think of the embrace and the compassion of a loving God who, you know, brought me into the room. You know, ironically, I come into the room, they mention God, I bristle with fear, and ironically, that is exactly the power that I needed. So I guess, you know, the most important thing for me today is to have that new understanding of God, is to really have a God in my life that doesn't antagonize me, that loves me and forgives me instantly for my humanness and my mistakes and some of my decisions, which aren't that great. But as long as I try to do his will today, which was not my intention when I walked in here, not my intention at all, but today I understand that he has a purpose for me, and that I have abundance, acceptance, and love for him as long as I understand and try to do his will, his purpose. And that is really a wonderful equation for living, not the one I had when I walked in here that I thought was supposed to be the living exercise of Terry being the power that was great. So I'll stop there since I took some earlier time, and with that, I will pass, and I'm interested in what everybody has to share. Thank you.
And thank you, Terry C. Okay, we are on page 45, the second paragraph that begins with, well, that's exactly what this book is about, and who would like to share on that paragraph?
Irene B.
Irene B.
Maureen F.
Maureen
Lisa J.R.
Lisa J.R.
Danielle F.F.
Danielle F.F.
Deborah G.
Carol K.
Okay, Deborah G. And who came in? A Carol who?
Carol K.
Carol K. as in kite?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, that's a good lineup. We're going to start with that. Irene B., Maureen S., Lisa J.R., Danielle F.F., Deborah G., and Carol K. So go ahead, Irene B., and if everyone else could press star 1 to mute your phone, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you so much for your service, and thank you to everybody on the line. I am Irene B., a recovered bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I am so overjoyed to be able to share on this because I have clarity. I will say that I grew up Christian. I grew up in Catholic boarding schools, and I wanted God to be a part of my life, but God didn't seem to be there. God had abandoned me. So at some point in my life, I quit asking because he wasn't interested, and besides, I was not a good girl because I was not perfect. So I just rejected God because he was very conditional, unforgiving, and cruel. So I wanted nothing to do with that God, quite frankly. I have forgotten about that. But there was a period in my life when when I heard the word God, I just wanted to run away because I did not want to face myself. And then in my moment of need, as I became hopelessly hopeless that there was nowhere to go, then I turned again to God. And I've been in and out of treatment centers for inpatient, for outpatient, 30 plus some therapists over my lifetime, and over $1 million spent. And I thought I had all the answers because as a child, I learned that I needed to depend on myself. I did not know until recently that life trained me to become my own God. Besides, I was the master of my household since age 6. That was the responsibility assigned to me by my father, who kept us after my parents divorced. So, yes, I was God. And I thought I had all the answers, and I thought that therapy was going to do it for me. And OA wasn't for me because OA was not for bulimics back then. So the place where I got therapy went out of business, so I had nothing. Until recently, somebody told me that I could go to OA, so I did. And I've been looking for the solution of my eating disorder, and I didn't think it was there because this program does not coincide, it's not in alignment with all the things that I learned in therapy. I thought that I was going to do it myself. I thought that willpower was going to do this. But I believe. Okay. I'll just say that with the steps, I learned to connect to my power. And now that I understand that the solution is not in abstinence, but rather in a reliance of God and not relying on myself. I am not God. God is God, and that is the beginning of my recovery. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Irene B. Maureen S., you're up next, followed by Lisa J.R.
Hi, thank you so much, Maureen S. here, recovered compulsive overeater in New York. I love this paragraph because I always used to think before I was recovered that I was a religious person, and I would have told you that, oh yeah, I believe in God and I go to church. And it wasn't until I put the food down that I realized, like, holy crap, I do not have a good relationship with my higher power. I am not close to God at all, which was really like an awakening to me. I think I was much more like the agnostic than I ever, ever, ever would have realized. I was totally unaware, and it goes back again to making myself God and making myself not only my own higher power, but the higher power for everyone that I was close to, all of my family members, especially my adult children. And I was so unaware of that, and I'm so grateful, so utterly grateful that I am not God anymore. I don't have to carry that responsibility. I can wake up every day and surrender. And I have to do it daily because it's, I will habitually put my God hat on and start over again. So for me, and I'm okay with that because I live in today, not yesterday, not tomorrow. Every day I wake up and I surrender. And God is in charge, not me. I don't have to fix anybody. I don't have to make sure that everybody is happy. I don't have to plan the future for my children. I don't have to make sure that they're not going to make a mistake. I don't have to protect them from every calamity possible. Not that I could ever do any of those things. That's the ironic thing, is I was struggling and sinking and drowning in trying to be God, and I was never going to be successful. Never, never, never. So it's not surprising that I was always feeling like I was drowning in life. And I'm so grateful that the big book does what it just says. It enabled me to find a higher power. And my definition of my higher power has changed a lot from what I thought God was. I had just had God in this box, very limited to what I thought he was. So I've totally taken like my higher power out of the box of my like childhood religion, and I'm just allowing him to just kind of meet my needs and be like all these wonderful things that I never thought that he could be. And it has been such a beautiful, beautiful gift for me to see how he sees me and not how I thought he did. And so this, like, again, this paragraph is so true. Recovery has really shown me how to find a higher power. I mean, it gives me the means to do that. So thank you, and I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Maureen S. Okay, Lisa J.R., your turn, followed by Danielle F.F.
Good morning, everybody. Lisa J.R. here, currently in Buffalo, New York. Very grateful to be here and grateful for everybody's service. You know, I've worked in the years that I've been in program now, I've worked with many, many beautiful people from different faith walks than mine, and some with the same. And, you know, love all of them dearly. They're so important to me because they've helped keep me sober. And I'm so, so thankful that we share one thing in common. We shared the pain we could relate into each other as we worked, the pain and the shame of being enslaved by this disease of compulsive overeating. And to be enslaved, you know, implies that cupcakes were my master. As the big book says, alcohol was my master. And I served this tyrant for many, many years and had much sorrow over it. And my higher power was waiting all along to emancipate me from this terrible enslavement. But, you know, I learned in this program, and I'm reminded every day that I have to take actions. Yes, you know, God feeds the birds in the air, but they don't sit on a branch with their mouths agape waiting for worms to rain down from heaven. They have to take action. And that's what you guys helped me learn, was that I had to take action. I had to put the plug in the jug. Who'd have thunk it? It wasn't a diet. It wasn't about abstinence. It was a spiritual program. And not only did I get closer to my higher power, but I saw others with other faith walks get closer to their higher power. You know, it's not for me to tell another person what to believe. We relate in, we love each other by helping each other. As Leia says, holding that lantern out along the path, you know, so that they can see the way. And I'm just so, so grateful for this program. I saw in a walk this morning, an industrial area that is now just filled with restaurants. And I was thinking, you know, industry gone, a different industry has moved in, food and more food. And, you know, I just think of the disease, how insidious it is. It's all fun and games, you know, in the beginning. It's all enjoyment and laughter and imbibing in our drug of choice. You know, until we can't choose not to. And man, what a gratitude I have this morning. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, Lisa J.R. Okay, Danielle, you're up next, followed by Deborah G. Are you there, Danielle? Star one to unmute.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Yes. Oh, okay, good. I don't know what happened. This is not the first time that's happened. Okay, hi, my name is Danielle F.F., and I'm really grateful to be here and to I've been joining the Vision for You for the last few months, which has been nice. And I've been in recovery for almost half my life, not quite, but getting there. And my birthday is coming up on Thursday, my actual birthday. And it's kind of an interesting experience to have done step work. I've done my step work in many different programs now, mostly between AA, OA, and Al-Anon. And I constantly have to go back to step two and review it, even after I've done it. There's still these little fragments where I am in my life right now. There's a huge part of me that I still feel has like a gaping hole, but I'm not trying to stuff it with food or people. I don't seek my family to fix things. I don't seek another person to make me feel better. In fact, I kind of shirk away from that. What I am feeling at this point, I'm very pregnant, and she's due in about a month and a half, which is daunting. But, you know, I look and I think to myself, I want God. I want God. I feel like that need, the needs that I didn't get met as a child, as a baby, I want God now. And I feel like it's okay for me to dump this on God. That's okay. Not a person, not a place, not a thing, but God. And I still am trying to figure out what God is for me, because I didn't have a prototype. A prototype growing up, and I've been dealing with it because my biological mother's birthday was yesterday, and I didn't. I kept abstinent, which is excellent, and sober and all the other things, but my behavior was not kind in any sense of the word in a lot of the ways to myself and my family. I was cranky, and I had tantrums, and I had to clean things, and it took me a while before, probably half the day before, I realized what in the world was going on. I had just not dealt with it, and, you know, I didn't even know where it was coming from. My husband's very kind and gave me my space, and I told them I was just in a very foul mood, and so everyone just needed to, you know, maybe keep out of my way, because I didn't feel like I was treating them the way they deserved. But I finally realized how painful that was, and I'm grateful that what I did was I reached out. I did some work with my husband. I talked about it. I read a couple of other literature books. I wrote to another recovery member who has a similar background, and she wrote back to me. I made sure I wrote all my food down, and I managed by the time the end of the evening, I was in a good mood, and while I'm not sleeping a whole lot, I woke up in a very good mood. And I still need to reformulate constantly, because, you know, there are no books written for me exactly. Thank you. That say exactly how my God is, needs to be with me. And I'm always readjusting. But the more I stay in this program, the more I stay abstinent, the more kind, loving, compassionate, and miraculous my higher power is with me, and the more forgiving I am of myself and embracing this world. So I thank all of you, and I hope you have all have a great afternoon. I'm going to pass.
And thank you, Danielle. So Deborah G., you're up next, followed by Carol K. Star one to unmute, Deborah G.
Hi, I'm Deborah. Good morning, compulsive overeater recovered. And thank you, Kathy, for your service today and all the shares. I love listening to all the shares. And that's how I learn from everybody's share, because I love when I'm going through the steps with my sponsor and it says there, well, that's exactly what this book is about. It's continually giving me information about what's going on with me and what's happening and the experience that I'm having, because when I'm going through the steps, I'm not really sure. I'm just kind of doing the action work and having the experience. And I like how it says that I'm going to find a power greater than myself, which would solve my problem. So it's, again, reminding me that I don't have to do this, that this power is going to solve my problem. And that it's going to be, I love how it says spiritual. We believe be spiritual as well as moral. Spiritual just leaves it wide open for me and my experience with this power. You know, I'm learning to have this experience with this power going through the steps in step two. And we're going to talk about God. And, you know, I love it because that word God is just a word, God, you know, and I can have any kind of relationship with that power I want. And it has changed over the years. And it's changed so that I can be closer and feel more loved and be more loving and just having that experience of love by going through this, the process of these steps. And, you know, that can be difficulty at times for some because I sometimes will, you know, doubt, you know, or forget, you know. So this continues to remind me of I can be reopened, reopened again and closer again. And I just love this book because it tells me so much about myself and what I can do so that I can have that problem solved. That's all I have. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. And before we take you, Carol K., just a reminder to everyone, we're on page 45, the second paragraph that begins with, well, that's exactly what this book is about. Reading and commenting on that one paragraph, and I'll be taking some names after Carol K. shares. So go ahead, Carol K., please.
Hi, this is Carol K. from New Jersey. I love this paragraph. We had to find a power greater than ourselves, which will solve our problem. You know, I came in here. I definitely hit bottom. I didn't know where else to go. Came back from the surgeon. I was pretty much on my deathbed. And a few months prior, somebody handed me this book. And he used to call me up all the time and read from it. And I used to think to myself, oh, God, hurry up and finish saying what you're saying because I just want to hang up, but I don't want to hurt your feelings. And today I'm just so grateful that that person did hand me this book, and I'm grateful that I hit bottom and I came into this program because I used to go on diets all the time. I was 5'4", now I'm 5'3", I'm shrinking due to age. But with that said, I came in here and I thought it was just pretty much another diet, but I thought it was a diet, but I'd have a lot of people around me to help support me. And yes, I have support around me, which is excellent, but that's not what this program is about. And I didn't want to hear the word God, higher power, because I was playing God my entire life. You know, I knew what was best for you, and I knew what was best for everyone. And what I found out by working these steps, which I work every day like my hair is on fire, because I know what's going to happen if I don't. But today I'm grateful because I enjoy working it. That is what solved my problem, working these steps, getting connected to a power greater than myself. Now, do I worship my food plan? No. In the beginning, yes, I was, because I didn't know. I was new. I was going through it. I really had no idea. And you know what? I don't know everything today. Every time I go through this book with a sponsee, I'm learning something new every single day. I hear something different. With everybody sharing different things, things I haven't heard. So I know that I'm going to learn until the last breath I take, and I'm so grateful that I am, because I don't know it all. There's so much more I have to learn. But that's how I stay abstinent every day, by staying connected to my higher power, which I call God today, which in a million years I could have never told you that would ever happen for me. This book is my Bible today. I actually donated because I grew up in a certain religion, you know, Christian. And I actually donated the Bibles because for me, this is my Bible. This saved my life. Because of this program, I am who I am today. And my husband and my kids are so grateful that I'm in this program. I had a crappy marriage for 30-something years, miserable. Blame my husband for it. And today, no, I don't blame anyone for it. I have an illness. Okay, I'm going to wrap it up. I have a disease. I didn't ask for it. I didn't want it. But I have it, and I accept it today. And I work this program, and I'm grateful. Thanks for everybody for being here.
And thank you, Carol Kay. All right, so who else would like to share on this paragraph, page 45, the second paragraph?
Hunter D. from Southern California.
Beatrice O.
Summer D.
Beatrice O.
Anne Marie M.
Okay, hold on.
Darian K.
Hold on. You're all kind of coming in together. I did hear Mo H at the very beginning, then a bunch of people came in. And then I heard
Summer
Beatrice
D.
O.
from Southern California.
I heard Summer D. and Anne Marie. I didn't get your last initial.
M.
Okay, and I can take a couple more.
Darian K.
Marion K.
O.
and Bruce. Okay, Marion K. and Bruce O. Okay, let's stop there. And
Bruce E.
Beatrice, I do have you. Bruce E. Sorry, Bruce. Okay, I don't know if I have the initials right, but here's what I have: Mo H. Beatrice O. Summer D. Anne Marie M. Marion K.
Darian.
Darian K?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sorry, Darian. And then Bruce E. So let's go ahead with you, Mo H.
All right. Thank you, Kathleen, for your service. And good morning. Welcome to everyone on the line and those giving service. My name is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. Well, I'm just home from a three-day big book study retreat, and I just feel so alive with the words in the big book today. And so I just had to share. So it says, well, that's exactly what this book is about, and that's a promise. And its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. So I thought my problem was I needed to lose weight, that I was overweight. I was too fat, as my mother called me, and that I needed to lose weight. So that's my problem. So I come into the rooms, and I think that that's what I'm going to get a food plan, and then I use it as a diet, and that's going to solve my problem. But what I found out this weekend again, and that's the thesis line of the big book, by the way, its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself. So if my problem isn't the food, but the solution to the problem is the food, well, what is my problem? And the problem is, as one of our beloved members says, it's the buildup of everyday emotions that I don't deal with. And I didn't know that. I just thought when I ate, I thought I liked food. I just liked to eat. I really didn't think there was anything wrong with me. But when I really got to understand this big book and really started studying it, I really got to see in steps one, especially step one in those first chapters where it describes the disease, that I had an allergy of the body and a mental obsession, a twist of the mind. That when I put certain foods in my body and I have to name them for myself, my alcoholic foods, and I need to put them down forever, not just for today, but forever, I can't have that notion that I can have that tomorrow because that's tantalizing with me. But I need to put it down forever. But then I got to deal with what's going on in my head. And now it's not about food. It's about life. It's about my husband. It's about one of my children. It's about she didn't do this and that. And how do I deal with that? Well, my solution today, and thank God for my sponsor and all of you, is I have learned how to do a 10-step. And I just take that problem and put it in that 10-step and deal with it and then get on with life. I make a total call, and I'm on with it. So great, great, great paragraph. Glad to be here again with all of you, and have a great day. Bye.
Okay, thank you, Mo H. And someone cleared their throat in there, so if that's not Beatrice O, if you could mute, please. But Beatrice O, go ahead.
Okay, this is Beatrice O, recovering from Northern California. And I really like the paragraph. This is exactly what this book is about. And the paragraph before is lack of power. That was our dilemma. And it is my dilemma because I don't have the power. So I really wanted what this paragraph brought to mind was the paragraph on page 11 where Bill W. says, the power of God in human affairs was negligible. The brotherhood of man was a grim jest. If there was a devil, he seemed the boss universal, and he certainly had me. But my friend sat before me, and he made the point blank declaration that God had done for him what he could not do for himself. His human will had failed, and doctors had pronounced him incurable. And then a few lines down, it said, here was something at work in the human heart which had done the impossible. My ideas about miracles were drastically revised right then. Never mind the musty past. Here sat a miracle directly across the kitchen table. And so that's what I feel about this book, because I think God specializes in miracles. And you know, I think about what's happening now, and, you know, in my own life I've had climate change. In my own life I have had wars and violence. So I'm recovering again because I had a slip, but there's no shame in my games. So I feel like, you know, even though there's a lot of terrible things happening in this world today, I know that God, for me, my higher power is love, joy, and peace. And I don't have to worry about what's going on because it's been going on for millions of years. And I know that I'm going to go be with my Creator when my lessons have been learned. So I'm abstinent again, and I'm grateful, and I'm happy to be sharing here. Thank you, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Beatrice O. And I have four more people lined up, and we're going to run out of time. So if you want to cut your share to about 2 minutes, great. So Summer D, would you go ahead, please, followed by Anne-Marie.
Yes, thank you so much for your service. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to any newcomers. We're glad you're here today. My name is Summer D. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. And I'm going to focus my share a little bit on my experience about the OA Vision community that I am so honored to be a part of. This particular paragraph, that this is exactly what the book is all about. You know, exactly is a definitive word for me. And when I first was introduced to the OA Vision community 4 months ago at the end of March, however long that is, I was shocked at what I was hearing. And what I was hearing was consistent conversations about people in the solution, consistent conversations about recovery and living these principles in everyday living, consistent sharing about experience, strength, and hope. But most importantly for me, it was about a relationship with a God that I wanted more than anything in the world. And, you know, I didn't come in without recovery experience, 14 years through OA, through Al-Anon, through ACA, but it wasn't until I surrendered at a level that I didn't know was possible. And what that meant was, at first, I was relentlessly pursuing a sponsor. I mean, I probably went through 5-6 different people, but they were all people I was choosing. Out of an outreach call, God brought someone to me that took me through these steps quickly. I just finished working with my first person that I'm working with, and she's now been released to work with others, as precisely outlined in this book. But I just want to encourage anyone, if you're new or if you're struggling with chronic relapse, that, you know, this book is exactly what it's about. And I have a relationship with a power greater than myself today that I could never have asked for, dreamt, or imagined. And so some of the spiritual, you know, and it is a spiritual malady requiring a spiritual solution. And, you know, some of the things, my umbilical cord has been cut in essence with my sponsor. And now, you know, now I understand the magnitude and the importance of working with others and working intensely. You know, I strive for a chapter a day, and it works. It really works. And I'm grateful. So thank you for letting me share, and everyone have a great day.
Thank you, Summer D. Anne-Marie M., you're up next, followed by Darian K.
Hi, this is Anne-Marie M., gratefully abstinent through God's grace. And if you can't hear me, just let me know, and I'll stop. I had really highlighted the word power in capital letters, and I think that just my thought that they put that there instead of God to include people that are agnostic and have a difficult time with God. And I was not one of those people. I had a God of my understanding. I needed to change my perception of that God. I didn't need to get a new God, so I'm grateful for that, but I did need to change my perception of the God of my understanding. And In the 11th step, it says, thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. I wasn't improving my God at all, and I just, you know, recently recognized that more, I need to focus more on God throughout the day, and I have been doing that, and I'm really grateful, and relying on Him, too. Also, what's noted in my book from working with another sponsor was that in this chapter, from here on in, the big book talks about God. There's no longer talk about alcoholism. And, again, the problem for me was that buildup of human emotions that I tried to deal with on my own, to rely on self rather than to rely on God and to rely on the people that have been put into my life by God. So I've learned a lot of lessons, and I'm very grateful. So I will pass with that. Thank you.
And thank you, Anne-Marie M. Okay, Darian K., you're up next, followed by Bruce E.
Hi there. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Hi, this is Darian K., grateful, recovered compulsive overeater in the Berkshires of Massachusetts. Just so grateful to share in this paragraph as well, and love what I've heard so far. Underlined and circled and squared a lot of the words in this paragraph. Just love how we break it down so succinctly and really pull out the information. It's just so helpful for my brain to see it this way. And honestly, when I first came to program, my sponsor was my higher power. She had everything that I wanted. She was tall, thin, beautiful, and just everything that I wanted. And so she became my power. and that was okay. That was okay in the beginning, because she had what I wanted. And, you know, slowly, but definitely surely, I found my own sense of a higher power. And it wasn't in any, you know, religious spot. It wasn't, you know, up in the sky. Although, you know, sometimes I think about it that way. It was inside of me, and it was practical, and it was obtainable. You know, it was closer to me than I thought it was originally. And it also, you know, I could believe eventually that God had my best interest at heart. Even my small little food problem, which I thought was my little tiny problem compared to the great woes of the world. And, you know, fast forward 30 odd years later, God has carried me through so much abstinently in this life of mine that I am just so grateful. It just seems like hindsight is always, you know, 20/20. We see in that rearview mirror how we've been carried, and the spiritual as well as the moral piece, you know, has been given to me. And so whatever your concept of God is for the newcomers, you know, it's okay. It's all right if it's a, you know, it's a person or a tree or the sunshine, whatever, just as long as it's not you. I feel like that's the premise of this whole thing. It's not you. It's not you that has to solve all your own problems and try with your own willpower to achieve, you know, recovery. It's something greater than us, and it really, really works. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Darian K. Okay, Bruce E., I'm going to have you close this out, and you have about 2 minutes. Go ahead, Bruce.
Oh, excuse me. Thanks, Mo. Thanks, everybody on the line. And I'm Bruce E., and I'm in Florida. And I'm just absolutely loving this meeting and these shares and the literature. I heard earlier said about choices. Now I have a choice. I can choose today to be sober. I can choose to be abstinent. I have that choice, but there was a time in my life when I didn't have a choice. Well, I had a choice. The choice was to eat. you know, but that was the only choice I had. Now I have a choice to be sober and abstinent. So that's amazing. I like this choice now. I like the one I've got now. Before, the other one I had, that was the only choice I had, was to eat. I couldn't do anything else. That's all I could do, was every day I was going to eat. Every day I thought I wasn't going to eat, I tried not to eat, but then every day I did. So I like this freedom, this way of living. Came in the program, thought I knew God, thought I had all the corner on all the good ideas about God, but I was close to a 30-year chronic slipper, so I wasn't doing too good, even though I thought I knew God and had all that down. And I think I took that power, power with a capital P, and took it down into a small p, and kind of manipulated it the way I wanted to use it, and did it that way. And my sponsor told me I had to, maybe you do believe in God, but you gotta apply that to this program. I kind of lost faith that God could actually help this problem. And so my faith had really waned. Thank you, and glad to be recovered today. Glad to be on the line. I pass.
And thank you, Bruce E. Okay, and thank you, everyone, for your amazing shares this morning. It was just a really great meeting. And thank you, Team Monday, Shelley E., Cindy K., Terry C., Carrie S., Sandy W., Mo H., and Reggie O. Thank you for all doing service this morning. And we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Carrie S., if you could please read a vision for you.
Will do, Kathleen. Thank you. It's Carrie S. in Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something that you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.